Shalom Aleichem, welcome everyone. As we prepare for Shabbos, Parshas Vayera. As I share with you a few thoughts on the parasha, going to say there, we begin with a pasuk shortly after Sheni. And for this, we turn to Halacha and Shulchan Aruch. And Shulchan Aruch has brought that before Shemoneh Esrei, there is a custom to take 3 steps forward in order to show that one is beginning Shemoneh Esrei. The custom to take 4 steps backward is brought, however, it seems to be just a way of taking 3 steps forward, because it may. The Halacha and Shulchan Aruch, the Gemara says the Makar is from the fact we find in Tanakh 3 times that a tefillah or a kasha began with the word Vayigash. The most famous one is Vayigash Yehuda. Even though Yehuda was approaching the Yosef, we understand that in his heart he was really talking to the Rabbi Yishalayma. Vayigash Shloimai, Shloimai, at the Chanukah Beis HaMikdash. And one is in this week's parasha. Vayigash Avraham. When Avraham davened, he stepped forward. It says 3 times Vayigash. From there we have the custom, the Rebbe has to take 3 steps forward. Darach HaShulchan brings this marker as well. The question is, the other 2 Vayigash words are understood. Yehuda stepped towards the Isis. Shlomo HaMelech stepped towards the people. In this pasuk, the word Vayigash is strange. The pasuk says that when the Malachim, the 3 Malachim left Avram, Avram is standing in front of Hashem. And then he begins to ask for the city of Sodom. He's already standing in front of the Bani Shalom. What is this Vayigash? I'd like to share with you 2 answers. One, the Ayala Sashachar from Rav Steinman, but the new Ayala Sashachar, the one printed with his Mirai Shal Shabbos. Here, Rav Steinman says, Adarabba. On the contrary, that's the whole point. The point is that when you step forward because you have to approach someone, okay, it's not a chiddush that you step forward. That's not why you step forward in the beginning of Shemoneh Esrei. Now, Yigash, when you don't have to step forward, but you create a sense of feeling, stepping towards the Rabbi Yishalayim, that's the whole purpose. The purpose of the 3 steps is to give you the Hergish of Hakana, a preparation for davening. There were those who thought that Rav Palm didn't take 3 steps back before Shemoneh Esrei because they looked at him. And as the Tzibur was beginning Mincha, he was not taking 3 steps forward. In fact, if my recollection serves me right, he did take 3 steps forward, but he did it before Kaddish of Mincha. And before the last part of davening in Shacharis, before Tehillah, for Kel Elyon, I recall that Rav Moshe did the same. Before Kaddish, he would take the 3 steps forward. And the reason for that minute, by the way, is brought in the Mishnah Berurah. And the reason for that is to give the sense of stepping in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hikai, Lekrasa, Lekecha, Yisrael, preparing for davening. You do it before Kaddish, as if you're standing in front of the Rabbi Yisrael, the Kaddish is an appropriate part of that. There's a second idea brought here by the Nitziv. The Nitziv has a theme which he writes about in numerous places, in Parshas Kisisa as well, and in regard to Shmuel Aleph right in the beginning. I remember when the Navi Shir began 30 years ago, speaking out this Nitziv then. The Nitziv says he aside. He says the Iker Kayach HaTzilah is when you do it in Shmuel Esrei. You need something, when you make up a kasha in Shmuel Esrei, that's the Iker Kayach HaTzilah. And even with this, he answers the question. We have a Yisai, which is brought in Halacha, from a Pasuk, that before you make a Bakasha, before you ask a Kaddish Baruch Hu for anything, you're supposed to start with Shvach, end with Haidah, and put the Bakashas in the middle. So here's the question. It doesn't seem that way from Chumash. We have in this week's Parsha that Avraham begins with Haftis Bet Tzadik in Rasha. He doesn't begin with any sort of a Bakasha, with any sort of a shvach. V'echal Moshe Estrei Hashem Alekov in Kisisa. He begins right away. Lama Hashem, Yech Ra'apcha V'amelcha. He doesn't begin with shvach. So it's a big kasha. if Tfilas are supposed to begin with praise, why didn't the Gedolei Yisrael do that? Why didn't the Amudei HaTorah do that? Why didn't Avraham and Moshe do that? Says in the Tziv, because they davened these Tfilas in Shemayin Esrei. Vayigash Avraham, Vayomer. Avraham went and he davened his regular Tfilah of the day. And he davened his regular Nusach HaTzilah. And in that Nusach HaTzilah, he added the Bakashas. The same thing by Yechal Moshe. The same thing with the Tfilah of Chana. As you know, Chana had no children and davened. And Eli did not understand why she was moving her lips and no words were coming forth. And the Nitzim explains, Chana understood the main place to ask Bakashas is in the Shemayin Esrei. And therefore, when she wanted to make a request from the Rabbi Nishloim, she davened Shemayin Esrei and inserted her Bakasha there. Eli didn't understand that she was davening Shemayin Esrei. The halacha of davening in a silent voice is only for Shemayin Esrei, says the Nitzit, not for other bakashas. So he wondered why she was whispering. And to that, the response of Chana was, you're not a sar of the Dovazeh. She said, Eli, you don't understand. I'm a broken soul, feel emotionally distraught. It's time for me to daven Shemayin Esrei with the bakasha. And so too, the Vayigash year. It's an important lesson. I try, whenever I go to Kevin Rachel in the summer, I go dafka at a time that they're davening a Shemayin Esrei, usually Mincha, sometimes Ma'ariv, occasionally Vasikin. Using this idea of the Nitziv, the main place to have a Tzillah is in the Shemayin Esrei, certainly. It's Tzillah B'Tzibur, but even in the Esrei Shemayin Esrei. Every Tzillah is supposed to begin with the Vreshvach, and that's how it begins that way. And so with that, I've explained that the Vayigash, in a technical sense, this is the aside of the Mitzvah. Let's move on to something else in the parasha. We find that Avimelech is punished. Avimelech is punished for taking the wife of Avraham, although he didn't think it was a wife, he thought it was a sister, and wasn't offered to him. The Gemara says, and we set this Bava Kama, I believe it's Sadek Aleph. The Gemara says that Avram spoke harshly, and he said to Avimelech, when Avimelech said, why did you lie to me? He responded, if a guest comes to town, do you ask about his wife, about the woman with him? You should be asking if you need food or drink. Why are you asking about the woman who's accompanying him? There's something wrong with you. And Rashi says, and that's why this punishment came upon you. I want to share with you a thought from Yaakov Kamenetsky. Now, they just printed Yaakov Anach Volume 2. Volume 1 has not yet been printed, for reasons explained in the Hagadah. They printed Volume 2 first. And the other Sefer Yecheskel, Perek De Zion, Yaakov has a tremendous insight. He asks, why is Avimelech criticized for not asking a guest if you need drink or water and for inquiring about the woman with him? There's not one in the Sheva Mitzvah Nayach. It doesn't violate anything. As a matter of fact, regarding Sedayim, the Pasuk says in Yecheskel that Sedayim was criticized because they did not practice Tzedakah. Tzedakah is not one of the Sheva Mitzvah Nayach. Why are the Nayach punished for this? Rabbi Yaakov Nier says an amazing insight. He says, the Meinayach are obligated in demon. Simply put, demon means to have a set of laws. But Rabbi Yaakov says, the idea of demon is more than that. HaKadosh Baruch Hu also has Adam Yashar. Hashem created human beings with a certain sense of values, a certain sense of Yashus. He writes there, Menschlichkeit. The ideas of Menschlichkeit are not a separate chiyuv in the Torah. But they're all part of demon. They're part of the demon that we're obligated in. And from there we get the understanding for a number of practices, which you could say, vushteit. It says in the heart of a yid, the ideas of yashrus, of values that are universal among all human beings. That sense of values is part of demon. This is Rebecca's insight. But then Rabbi Yaakov adds something that's a tremendous chiddush. He says that you have a chaylish yesh by sakana. Somebody who must have meat, it's a sakana for him. He has a choice. He can either eat basar nevela. Now, nevela is an isur lahav. Well, he has available to him chaylev, which is an isur karis. He has available one of those, or basar adam, human flesh. Human flesh, according to the Rashba, is not prohibited by any isur in the Torah. According to the Rambam, it's an isur asay, zeh teichlu, eat the kosher items, it comes to exclude basar adam. But, by the law, eating human flesh is certainly less strict than eating chaylev, which is kares. So the chaylev has a choice between the two. Which one should he eat? In the footnote in Rabbi Yaakov, they bring that this speech took place in 1973 when there was a plane crash in the Andes Mountains. And it took many weeks till survivors were found. The survivors had survived by eating human flesh of others who had died in the crash. Rabbi Yaakov was disturbed because somebody had said at that time that human flesh, the Torah, according to Rashba, doesn't even prohibit it. And this disturbed Rabbi Yaakov, although the Mokim Sakana, certainly a person's allowed. But Rabbi Yaakov made the point that eating basar adam is something that goes against the grain, against the sense of yashrus of every human being. And therefore, it's part of dinim not to eat it. And Rabbi Yaakov writes, Olashin Bitnia, if a chalash yesh by Sakana has a choice to eat chaylev or nevela or treifa, or basar adam, even according to the Rashba, that basar adam is not treif in the sense of macholes asuras. Rabbi Yaakov says, certainly, a person should better eat the nevela, the treifa, even the chaylev. Because it goes against the sense of yashrus of human beings. It's a tremendous chiddush. It's a bit of a dangerous chiddush. People can hear this drasha and then go say, my sense of yashrus says, and violate Isurim Shel Torah, Chas V'Shalom. My sense of yashrus says that fasting on Yom Kippur is not Rechad Achinoim. So Chas V'Shalom has to be used right. But the idea, the sense, this is a chiddush of Rabbi Yaakov, important chiddush of Rabbi Yaakov. It's something which is not meant to be a kula. It's meant to be a chumra. To tell people that certain items of sense of value, and you say, which state? Where does it say you have to do it? It's a universally accepted idea that human beings have a sense of yashrus in certain areas. And that is binding. It's binding on B'nai Nayach. It's certainly binding on B'nai Yisrael. So these are two chiddushim. One from the Avram's Tzula Sadaim, and one from Adi Melech being punished. I'd like to hear a small nakuda, which maybe one day we'll elaborate upon. When the people of Sadaim surround the house, and the Malachim pull light in, and afflict the people outside with sanveirim, with blindness, the Pasuk says that they pulled light into the house, and they locked the door behind him, and then they caused the people who were outside to become blind. And the question is, when did they lock the door? For what reason? The Pasuk says that they were blinded to the degree that they could not even find the house. So why does it say in Pasuk Vav in Pasuk Yud, by Yaviyu Eslait Aleim Abayisa, they said, Dela Sagolo, they locked the doors. And the very next Pasuk, the Sa'anashim Shepesach Abayis, Hikub Misandayim, Yikotim Vagado, by Yilu Kumfeya Pasach. They were blinded and confused to the degree they could not find the door. Then why lock the door? Akash Amshat. And the answer which I saw this summer is based on Naftar. In Daf Torah, the wife of Evadia does something miraculous in the house, as you will see and have seen in the Persian. But here again, it says numerous times, that Tiskar Hadelas Ba'ado. The Navi says, lock the door. She locks the door. Why is she locking the door? And the Malbim says, because if the influence of the outside world is in the house, then it's going to prevent the Kedusha from being chal. Certainly the influence of the outside of Sadaim will prevent the Kedusha in the house. Sometimes you have to lock the door, not to keep anybody physical out, but to keep a certain spirit out. It's brought a story that the Baal HaTanya was told about a certain one of the Gedalei Hasidus, I don't remember the name, that someone told him Mashiach has come. Someone said, did you hear the news? Mashiach came to Yerushalayim. And this tzaddik opened the window, stuck his head out, and said, no, I'm not Margish. I don't sense an air of Mashiach. And the Baal HaTanya said on that, he had to open the window and stick his head out. It seems that in his study, in his Beis Medrash, there was an air of Mashiach from the Kedusha. He had to stick his head out to see. Outside, by Yisgar Adelis, sometimes you have to lock the door in order to be able to keep the outside ear from affecting you. What a Musa for a generation that's steeped in addiction to cell phones, to the internet. There is barely a mincha amarid in the shul where there isn't someone or numerous people taking out their cell phones, checking their mail, checking whatever it might be. It's pathetic. It's sad. People don't even feel it's a problem. They're waiting for Chazaras HaShatz. They're waiting for Hashem L'Kechem Emes. Bang! They have to be connected. It's an addiction. It's a bazillion. It's a bazillion for the shul, a bazillion for the davening. People are addicted. Lock the door. Leave it out. Leave it outside. When you come in, you bring it in. The shmutzidika avir, the distraction from Avedas Hashem, comes with you. A yisgar adelis, a sadelis agaru. What a message. Now, with this message, I wish one and all an absolutely wonderful, meaningful, heilige, Mishmer night, and Shabbos Kodesh. Kol Tov.